All right, why don't you take your Bibles, if you would. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We're going to talk about this king named Manasseh tonight. He was the son of Hezekiah, the king that we studied last week. We find his story, again, both in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, but they're pretty similar. Although, I will tell you, 2 Chronicles goes a little bit further, because you read about Manasseh in 2 Kings, and you don't see any repentance. And yet, here in this chapter, you see where he repented, and God forgave him of his sin. And tonight, one of the main things I want to remind you of is that we do have a God that will forgive us when we fail. And it doesn't matter how many times we go back to him. I'm glad 1 John 1:9, where the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad God doesn't put a counter on that and have a set limit that says you can only come back to that verse and use it 100 times or 200 times. I'm glad that it's a promise that we can use over and over and over and over again. And I'll just say, I was going to mention it later, but I'll just mention it now. It doesn't mean, and I know a lot of people say, well, you Baptists that believe in once saved, always saved, you just think you have a license to sin. And then you throw in that verse, 1 John 1:9, and just another license to sin, because you think you can do anything you want and just go and get forgiveness. Now, we can, but we don't want to. Because the more we grow in Christ, the more we realize that God loves us. And we don't want to obey just because it's the rules. We want to obey because we want to please him. But when we fail, I'm glad we got a God that forgives us. So look at the first verse there in 2 Chronicles 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Now, if you go back and you think about all the kings we studied, this man reigned longer than any king. Asa reigned for 52 years, if I remember right. But this man reigned longer than any king. But in verse 2, it says, "But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." In other words, the people that dwelt in the land of Canaan before God gave it to his people, they worshiped false gods. They set up high places. They offered their children as sacrifices. And Manasseh came in, and he followed their practices. Verse 3, "For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven, and the two courts of the house of the Lord." You remember his grandfather had done the same thing, and had taken the altars that Solomon had built out of the temple, and had put heathen altars in the temple itself. Verse 6, "And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinance by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel." Now, let me just remind you of a couple things that we talked about last week. Again, Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He tore down. He tore down all the high places that his father had built. He tore down all the altars that his father had built. He even went further than that. He went to these high places where the people went and worshiped these false gods that Solomon had made. And he tore all those down. The snake, the brazen serpent, we talked about it last week, that Moses made and lifted up when he was leading the people to the promised land and said, hey, if you've been bitten by a fiery serpent, look to the snake and you'll live. The people of Israel had taken that snake. They named it. I don't remember the name. It was in the verses we studied last week. And they worshiped that snake. And Hezekiah destroyed that. I think he destroyed every place that the heathen and that his forefathers had set up to worship false gods. And Hezekiah had destroyed all of that. And he brought the people back to God. He restored the temple and he started worshiping God the way that God instructed Moses. And you remember last week how we talked about how God blessed him for that. I mean, he gave a military victory. I mean, against the odds. I mean, he was way outnumbered, and God gave him victory. You remember, he added 15 years. And by the way, that victory, remember, God went out and killed in one night 185,000 enemy soldiers. And then God added 15 years to his life in answer to prayer. And then, remember, God made the shadow on the sundial go backwards 10 degrees. He stopped the earth and turned it backward 10 degrees. I mean, you would think that if you saw your dad go through all of that, if you saw your dad with a zeal worship the true God and tear down all these altars, and then you saw God bless your dad in the way that Hezekiah was blessed, you would think that a son would follow in his father's footsteps. You would think that he would learn from his dad and say, boy, dad did that which was right in God's sight, and God blessed him abundantly. I want to be blessed by God abundantly, so I'm going to do the same thing. And yet, Manasseh didn't do that. He ignored the lessons from his dad, and he says, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to go back and worship these false gods. And I don't know what he thought. I mean, you know, it'd be interesting if you could, if when we get to heaven, if God will just tell us what went through these kings' mind. I don't know if he thought, well, I can do it my own way and God will still bless me. And God doesn't work like that. Most of the promises in the Bible, we sang that song, Standing on the Promises of God. Most of the promises in the Bible have a condition on them. There's something that we have to do to claim that promise. Over in the book of, I'll just give you three quick examples. Over in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, says, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. In other words, keep the Bible always before you. And be like that wise man that's talked about in the book of Matthew. Not only know what God says, but do it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's a promise. God says, I will make you prosperous. I will give you good success in whatever you try, if you stay in the Bible and obey the Bible. And yet we expect God to bless us while we're not in the Bible. And I'll just tell you, the promise doesn't work that way. It's an if-then sort of thing. If you stay in the Bible and obey the Bible, then I will make you prosperous and I will make you a success. That prayer promise that we have in Jeremiah 33:3. God says, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. But what do we have to do? We have to call. We have to pray. Don't expect God to answer your prayers if you don't pray. James says, we have not because we ask not. Again, a promise. And then that verse over in the book of Malachi, the last book of the New Testament, that talks about giving, where it says in Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Again, God says, I'm gonna open the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour you out a blessing. You ain't going to have room to store it. You ain't going to have room to get it. But and a lot of people think, well, God hadn't done that for me. And again, I'll just hasten to say, his blessings are not don't always take the form of money or riches. I mean, there is a lot of blessings that come from God that don't have a dollar bill attached to them. And I'll tell you, some of those blessings are a lot better than having money. Amen. Right, Al? A lot better than having money. But God says, there's a condition on that promise. I want you to bring your tithe to the church. And then I'll bless you. And so here's Manasseh. He had a dad that gave him a perfect example of if you're obedient to God, that God will bless you. And he turned away from that example and turned away from God. And just think about what he did. If you were going to tell somebody what God expected, the place where I would start would be, well, let's go back to the Ten Commandments. Let's go back to the commandments that God gave Moses up on Mount Sinai that's recorded in the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy. The first commandment. Anybody remember what the first commandment is? What? Yeah, that's right. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I want to be number one. And here's Manasseh setting up all these idols, setting up all these places to go and worship other gods. Remember what the second commandment is? No idols. Thou shalt not set up false gods to worship them. I mean, he broke the first and the second commandment. Now, I can't tell you for sure by reading chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles, but my guess is he probably broke the third one. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He probably broke the fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day. He surely broke the fifth one, where it says, honor thy father and thy mother. If he would have honored his father, he would have followed his father's example. And he broke, and I don't know exactly what number is, but that commandment said, thou shalt not kill. When it talks about he made his children to pass through the fire, what he was talking about, what's talking about in that verse, is sacrificing his children to false gods. Killing them and burning them on the altar, sacrificing them to false gods. And so by my count, I can tell you for sure, he broke four of them, but he probably broke all 10 of them if the truth was known. And I don't know if he expected the blessings of God, but he sure didn't get them. Because God came and punishment came. Look at verse 10. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. God came to him and said, Manasseh, look, I made a promise to David that somebody from his descendant would always sit on the throne and I would bless him. And I'm not going to take him out of this city. I don't care how bad you are. I'm still going to keep God's people in this city. But you need to turn from your sin. I'm gonna punish you if you don't turn from your sin. And when it says there that the Lord spake to Manasseh, he sent prophets to him and said, you need to repent and turn back to God. But he would not. Wherefore, verse 11, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Here's the king, as punishment for his sin, God sent the king of Assyria, and they put him in chains and carried him to Babylon. Now, if you read his story in the book of 2 Kings, that's where it ends. I mean, he's a wicked king who turns against God and is punished by being carried out from his kingdom, from his people, from his home into Assyria. But look at verse 12. So here in 2 Chronicles, we sort of get the Paul Harvey rest of the story about Manasseh. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. So he was over in this foreign land. He was in prison. And he went to God and humbled himself and asked God to forgive him for his sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me make a couple quick points. God will do whatever he needs to do to get our attention to turn back to him. He will do whatever he needs to do to get our attention to turn back to him. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, and he loveth his children, he will chasten. Don't think as a Christian you can turn away from God. And again, I'm not talking about the accidental, incidental, however you want to call them, sins. I'm talking about when you get out of that straight and narrow way and the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, you're wrong, you know you're doing wrong, you need to get back, you need to repent, you need to get back to where you need to be. And we say, no. And we, on purpose, not by accident, but on purpose, rebel against God and rebel against the Holy Spirit. And we ignore the Holy Spirit's warning. God, in that case, will do whatever is necessary to get our attention. Not to punish us for punishment's sake. Not because he's mad and he wants to take out his wrath on us. He wants us to do exactly what Manasseh did. He wants us to humble ourselves and ask the Lord for his forgiveness. He wants us to get back. Look, one of the reasons that the Bible uses the word Father in describing God is that there are many lessons that we can learn from our human fathers. When you were a kid and your dad punished you, he didn't get enjoyment out of the punishment. Sometimes I think mine did, but he didn't get. I'm just teasing. I never thought my dad. In fact, I know my dad. It hurt him when he said it's going to hurt me as worse than it did you. I knew that that was true. But your dad didn't punish you just for the sake of punishment. You don't punish your children today. You didn't punish your children when they were young just for the sake of punishment, just because you were mad and because you wanted to take it out on somebody. You punish them to get them back into the right. You punish them to get them back to doing what they were supposed to do. Why? Because you knew it was for their good. You knew if they kept stepping outside the lines that sooner or later they were going to get hurt. And so you tried to do whatever you needed to do to keep them back in the lines for their sake. That's what God does to us. For our sake. That's what he did to Manasseh. And so Manasseh asked for forgiveness. In verse 13, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Now, just when I studied for tonight, this sent chill bumps up and down my arms. It just amazed me. Here was a man that ignored the example of his father doing right and God blessing him. Here was a man that led God's people into wicked sin. I mean, they broke four or five of the Ten Commandments. They turned their back on God. They put idols, false idols, in the temple. They rebuilt all the high places so they could worship these false gods. And you would think that somebody like that, God would have a hard time forgiving. It's not just that he told a lie. It's not just that, he did something small. I'll put that in quote. I don't think they're small and big sins. I think sin's a sin. But, if you're going to rank sin, it's not that this was what you might say was a gross sinner. This was a bad one. And yet, when he humbled himself and went back to God and asked God's forgiveness, God forgave him and gave him back his kingdom. And notice what it says the last part of verse 13. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. One of the things that makes God, God, is that He does forgive us. He does forgive us. Now, you read the next few verses, and I won't read them for sake of time, but he went and undid everything that he did. He destroyed the high places. He took the idols out of the temple. He started worshiping God the way that he was supposed to worship him. And God began to bless him. But I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice verse 17 where it says, "Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only." They sacrificed to the Lord. They sacrificed to God. But they did it in a place that God didn't want them to do it. They did it in those high places. And then I want you to notice, look at verse 20. "So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more." And so even though Manasseh humbled himself and asked God's forgiveness, and even though God forgave him and brought him back from Assyria and put him back as a king of Judah, there was still a price to pay in that his son didn't worship God. And I'll just, here's my point. We need to live a consistent Christian example before our children from the time they're born until the time we die. I think Manasseh was a good dad. I think it was a good example after he asked the Lord for forgiveness and he was restored. But that couldn't undo all the stuff that was done before. And before our children, before our grandchildren, we need to be a Christian all the time. We need to be consistent. And I'll just close with this because we're out of time. I think when we mess up, our children are going to see. And I think it would be a good example if they saw us. And maybe there's situations where you can't do this all the time. But if our kids saw us going to God and asking for His forgiveness. Especially as they get older. Maybe not when they're a little kid, because, you know, they think Dad and Mom hung the moon and they wouldn't understand what, for the most part, what you were doing anyway. But when they get older, when we mess up, and they know we have, if they could see us going and claiming 1 John 1:9 and seeing the forgiveness that God gives us, what a powerful lesson that would be for them. Anybody have a question or a comment? That's all the Bible says about Ammon, just those few little verses that we read. And so we're going to move on week after next and study the next king after that. Okay, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.